I moved to Mallorca 2 years ago. I had test screenings of Triangle of Sadness in the small village on Mallorca where I live, Campos. And it was beautiful to tell people that doesn't think that they have any knowledge about cinema, come and watch my film, and afterwards, what do you think? What do you think is the problem? What do you think was good? What do you think was bad? And they were like, how should I answer that question? And they got so happy. And the screenings became so fun, and we got a relationship immediately. And it was just something about having the kind of... I think that that's what cinema is missing today. That when I go to the cinema, the audience is treated like, you know, they are cows. You in, buy popcorn, out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But instead they should feel like, ah, oh, we are coming here, and oh, our what we think and what we feel matters. People want to hear that. And I think that's the future of the cinema. It have to be like that. Because it's an openness, not disqualifying people, no elitism.
What do you think is the future of comedies? Because we at the festival we have always one or two comedies out of 20, also in Venice, in Cannes.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, able to do good comedies? I mean, you obviously have.
But I think it's interesting because I think that, you know, if you look at the 70s and a little bit in the 80s, when you had great filmmakers like Buñuel or Lina Wertmüller, that was very like intelligent and comical at the same time, and there was no difference between being comical or being asking important questions. But then what happened in Europe was that all of a sudden we had all these film institutes where you could apply for money if you do important movies. And then what happened was that the production companies and the people that are producing the films, we were economically safe when we got the money from the state. So we could use the culture prestige of making cinema to get money. And therefore a certain kind of genre happened that was disconnected from the audience. And I think that one problem that European cinema have is exactly that. We are economically safe when we get the money from the state. Yeah. And in the US they have to sell tickets, otherwise they're losing their job, they go bankrupt. So I think that we have to understand the great things about having state-founded cinema, but also there to look at the downside of it and what is creating some strange, how do you say, side effects of it. And I think it's a side effect of it. We are there's so many films that are posing, I'm dealing with an important content, but if you scratch the surface, it's kind of shallow, and so to lose connection of the audience is also actually to lose connection with a content that is interesting. I think I got interested in the fashion world is because my wife is a fashion photographer, so she told me a lot of things about the fashion world. But
you told us through the film.
Yeah.
I was not realizing these things, you know, about the difference between the H&M models and how they have to behave. And
I can tell you another interesting thing. You know, there was someone that was studying zebras on the savannah. I don't know if you have read it in an interview, but I talked about it before. But someone was looking at zebras on the savannah, and he was asking himself, why are the zebras black and white when they are on the sand yellow savannah? Mm. And he tried to study the zebras, and he tried to follow one individual zebra. And it turns out it's very hard because they disappear in the herd. And then what they did was that they were spraying a red dot on the fur, and then they could follow it. But what happened was that zebra was caught by lions very, very quickly. And so the conclusion was that, okay, the camouflage that they have is not hiding in the environment, it's hiding in the herd. And this scientist was drawing parallel to human beings and how we are picking our clothes. So we are very aware of what clothes could I use in this social social environment and in this class, etc., etc. And I'm picking clothes that makes me not pop out too much. I think it's most obvious when you're going to when there's a strict dressing code, and everybody's like, "How can I have this? Can I not have this?" You know, like that kind of fear. And of course, if you look at the fashion industry, it's great to change fashion every fall and every spring, because then we have to buy a new camouflage every, you know, every new, every fall, every spring. So it's so much about the human, the core of being a human, the primal behavior of us, that and like a capitalistic system have managed to exploit. And the fashion industry in many, many ways is playing on our insecurity to not fit in, to position ourselves, and also it's almost like this neoliberalistic idea that it's about expressing yourself. You know, you're expressing yourself with
your
clothes.
Be yourself.
Yeah.
But I worked in fashion. The last question. You said once, if you want to understand me, you have to understand Marx.
Sorry, if you want to.
If you want. Can you talk? Because
no, but I think that
he always makes references.
I think that as I talked about, like when we were up there on the mountain, you know, that I'm brought up by teachers. Like my mom and my dad were teachers. They were young in the 60s. They were very influenced by the leftish movement of the 60s. And my mother became left-wing and communist during that era. My father also, but my father maybe doesn't consider himself a communist anymore. But so Marx was something that was a part of my upbringing, and a lot of other things when it comes to what my mother told me when I was a kid, I have turned my back against, but Marx I don't have the possibility to do.
I have to put out a little son to bed.
And I feel just that that way of looking at the world, of that it's the context of the situation that is creating our behavior, and looking at how the materialistic parts of the world is changing our behavior.
I just
Papa. Elsin, jag kommer ner och säger hej sen. I think he had a lot of great ideas that still is true and accurate, and then I got to know, like when I was in my 40s, I got to know that he was also one of the founders of sociology. I didn't know that. And I think in Sweden that is not the common knowledge, that Marx was not only the founder of the Communistic Manifesto, but he was also one of the founders of sociology, the knowledge about human behavior. And sociology, it's only about to create a context where we look on how our behavior is changed. I think it's a very sympathetic way of looking on us and getting to know things about us. So instead of pointing fingers at different people and say, are you bad and you're good? It's just saying, okay, look at if it's this context of situation, many of us will do this or that.
Yeah.
So, and especially, I think it's also something that is in complete opposition with the neoliberalistic idea of looking at human beings. Like if you look at the kind of culture that we are consuming from the US, it's always that, okay, it's a person that is aimed to be somewhere else. But it's always an individual. I'm aimed to reach somewhere else. I'm aimed to be the princess. I should be somewhere else. And in the beginning, they're struggling, and then in the end, they get their worthy position. But it's always focused on the individual. It's never focused on a society level. So the individual perspective that is connected very closely to the liberalistic idea, the freedom of the individual and so on, is in many ways in opposition to putting our actions in a context. Because then we are saying we are not so different. We are not the bad guy or the good guy. We are not the heroes. Our action comes from the setup of the situation.